Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarts joined alongside Matt Douglas. In just a moment, we are going to catch up with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Before we do, we want to remind you that coming up at the end of our conversation with Rosie, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians and Tigers on Thursday, September 19th. Listen in at the end of the interview for your cue to call. Rosie, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. How you doing?
So far, so good. Trying to wave the magic wand and try and keep that doggone rain away, but we'll control the things that we can't control, I suppose. A very successful road trip for the Indians, taking 5 out of 6. And, boy, we've gotten to an interesting point, though, with this bullpen. At what point do you think the Indians initially suspected that something may have been wrong with Brad Hand, and do we know how available or if he'll be available this weekend?
You know what? I'm not sure on availability for the weekend. When last visiting with Tito on Wednesday out in Anaheim, they had sent Hand home, and he got a pretty thorough exam, and they were encouraged in that. The MRI came back clean, but they've been noticing for a little while that his arm angle's dropping a little bit, and certainly we notice up here the velocity is down a little bit, and then clearly the slider is not as sharp as it was earlier in the season. So he's one of those guys, and I think every bullpen has two or three of these kind who, I mean, his arm could be falling off, and they'd say, hey, you good to go? And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. So, he didn't want to say, hey, I'm hurting a little bit, but some of the indicators said maybe he's not 100%. So they're trying to determine, with the MRI being clean, exactly what's going on. They've shut him down for a couple of days. I'd be surprised, Bull, if he did pitch this weekend. But again, haven't really talked to anybody yet here today. Maybe some things did improve on Wednesday and yesterday that would allow him to do so. But at least for right now, it looks like, I mean, gosh, just talking to Tito on Wednesday, it sounded like he might be down for a little bit to let the arm come around, if indeed just it takes a little rest.
And that begs a different question. I think we got a glimpse of this. If indeed he's not ready to go this weekend, and very clearly it's a huge series this weekend, who are some of the guys that they're going to rely on? I mean, again, I think we got a glimpse of that a couple of days ago when they finished up that series against the Angels. But who would you imagine Tito would kind of lean on in a close game when they've got the lead in the ninth inning?
I think it depends on matchups and what's going on in terms of the game situation. I think it's pretty clear, Bull, that they're trying to get to a spot with Carlos Carrasco where he's that guy. Now, that may mean, and we saw it the other night, he came in before the ninth inning because I think they felt they had a chance to calm the game down a little bit. It was kind of midway through, so they brought him on, got multiple innings out of him, and it worked really well. And then they kind of pieced it together, left-right switches, and just kind of going with matchups in the ninth inning. And Tito said that, you know what, that's what he'll do. He'll just, when you have a closer like a Brad Hand, it makes it a little bit easier because you know what you're doing in the ninth inning. Maybe occasionally bringing him on in the eighth, but you kind of know what's going on at the end of the game if you have a lead and it's close. So this opens up some doors because you don't know that now, but he'll just be creative and the key point, whoever he thinks is his best option, whether that's Carrasco or Nick Wickren or Nick Goody, Simber if it demands that, Oliver Perez if it, you know, if they need a left on left, that may be in the seventh inning and he'll go to him then, or maybe it is the ninth and he matches up like he did the other night. So a lot of options available.
No question about it, and they have another option that will be available too, and this is something I think a lot of us had anticipated to some degree, James Karinchak. And I know that's a name, Rosie, that we have discussed before. For those who maybe haven't heard as much about him, what are some of the elements of his game that the Tribe really loves?
Big fastball, big curveball. Fastball, upper 90s. At times, I think he might have touched 100 in the minor leagues. Huge strikeout numbers in the minor leagues. Off the charts. Way, way over a strikeout every inning. So He has had some command issues at times, so that could be exposed up here. I think what they want to do, they're not going to throw him in the back of the game right away, especially in this situation where you're in a pennant chase and all that. That's not fair to him. But I think they're really curious, and they'll get him in there at certain points in time and see what they have. And if he's handling the major league level for the first time in a good way, maybe he does start to go closer to the back of the back of the game, you know, as we get deeper down in this thing. But I think initially he's a kid with a big arm, great breaking stuff, and if he can throw strikes, he'll probably have success up here too.
Well, and that answered part of my next question about how the Tribe intends to use him, and I'm not sure if we know that answer just yet, but I guess to add to that as well, do you think it helps him a little bit because there isn't much of a proverbial big league book on him just yet? You know, a lot of these guys haven't seen him just yet. Do you think that helps him in that regard?
Maybe a little bit, sure. I mean, it probably does, but the big key for him will be throwing strikes. Because the one thing big league hitters will do is they will make him throw strikes. And that'll be a difference from what he was seeing in the minor leagues. You get a lot more chase on pitches outside the zone. So, that'll be an adjustment, and we'll see how he handles that. So in terms of a book, that would be, your book on big league hitters is that they're not going to chase as much, most of them anyway. So we'll see what happens here this weekend. But don't look for him in the key spots in the ninth inning. That's not fair to him. They're going to let him get his feet wet up here and then go from there.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget, when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away two tickets to see the Tribe and the Tigers on September the 19th. Rosie, two nights ago, Zach Plesac was sensational, complete game shutout of the Angels. What specifically was working extraordinarily well for him on that night?
Well, he was saying after the game, his curveball. That was much better than it had been, and that kind of opened up everything else for him. So he was pretty excited, had a chance at a shutout and got it. But he said that the biggest difference was he was able to throw his curveball for strikes, get a little bit of swing and miss on it, but that was a pitch that was much better for him than maybe it had been in the prior couple of starts. His command was better. When he speeds up in his delivery, then things get a little bit out of whack in terms of his command and he can get hit. But he seemed to be able to keep things slowed down a little bit, which can be a challenge for him. And when he was able to do that, he had good success. But the curveball was his big pitch that maybe hadn't been prior to his last start that really came into play last time out.
Last week when we spoke, Yasiel Puig was right on the cusp of busting out of a little slump he'd gotten himself into. Now, over the past week, he's hitting .333 since our last conversation. Anything besides maybe an uptick in confidence that's stood out to you about him over the last week?
I'm not sure, Andy. He's a hard guy to figure out because, it's a little bit unorthodox, his approach at the plate and his swing and all that kind of stuff. And just talking to Ty Van Berkley, the inning coach, he said, there's some different things going on there, but it works for him. So he stays with it and goes from there. And I think he just was in a stretch where, so much of hitting is timing. And his timing was way off for whatever reason for about a week to 10-day stretch. And now his timing's better. I mean, he was getting beat on fastballs, like 90-mile-an-hour fastballs he was getting beat on. So something was wrong there in terms of his timing, and it just seems like that's come together for him, and he's just got his timing back, so everything else is falling into place.
And in his time with the Tribe, he has annihilated the Twins, so hopefully he can stay hot for the entire weekend. Speaking of the weekend, Rosie, this is a really, really big one for the Tribe. Want to get into a bit of a series preview here. Is it safe to say that anything less than a sweep, and that would be enough to knock the Tribe out of this divisional race?
I'm not ready to say that, Bull.
Okay.
Now, look, every game means a ton. But say they take two out of three. Then it's down to 2.5 with a dozen left for the Indians, 13 for the Twins. And I think as we saw on this last trip, the Indians won their three games and the Twins dropped 2 out of 3, so they gain ground again. So it certainly can happen. But here's the, and I get your point, and maybe this is where you're going. If they don't sweep the Twins and say they take 2 out of 3, it might be a little bit tough for the Indians to catch them at that point, because the Twins have a tremendously easy schedule after they leave here. They play Royals, Tigers, White Sox, and that's it. So that's a great schedule for them. Now you still have to go out and win those games. The Indians, on the other hand, have a series with the Phillies, a series with Washington, and that Washington series is on the road. So tougher schedule for the Indians for sure. You'd love to take 3. Is it a must? I'm going to say no. They can still win the division without doing that. It just will be a little bit harder, and then you have to start relying on some others.
Yeah, no question about it, and it adds a lot more intrigue to this series, as if this series needed more intrigue. This should be a lot of fun here over the next few days. Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Have a great call tonight and throughout the weekend, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, that's Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's open up those phone lines. If you are the second caller at 440-322-0930, that's 440-322-0930, then you'll win 2 tickets to see the Indians take on the Detroit Tigers on September 19th. Thanks to North Ridgeville, convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge in Barton Roads. They're open every single day of the year. Let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back to wrap things up after this here on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM.